My guest today is Matt Forge. He is the CEO of Pullman Regional Hospital, been here on the Palouse for the last 3 years, and he is a major part of building this community into the amazing place that it is. Matt, thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Adam, it's such a pleasure to be here with you today in this beautiful place. You got an awesome place here.
We like our shop.
We're happy to be here. It's awesome.
Yeah. So the name of the show is All Roads Lead to Pullman because I truly believe that everybody has an interesting story of how they got here. No one comes to Pullman by accident.
Right.
Yeah. And you've done some interesting things in your career, but you decided to come here for the stage of your journey. What brought you to Pullman and what made you decide to stay?
Well, I think you just used the right term right there. I think nothing happens by accident. I think when you think about Pullman, I just grew up right down the road. And it might be a little bit of a stretch, but I consider myself a local, right? Because, you know, growing up in Lewiston and being around this area, you know, Cougar games, Vandal games, you know, being around the area this whole time, we're passionate about it. My dad lives less than a mile from where he grew up. And, man, they just built a home right next to the home that I grew up in. I mean, that's how passionate we are about this place. You know, the hunting and fishing, the rivers, the mountains.
So you grew up in Lewiston?
I grew up in Lewiston. Yeah, just right down the road. Born and raised. My parents still live down there.
Lewiston High School?
Lewiston High School, okay. Class of 04.
Yeah.
Getting after, we just had our reunion a couple years ago. Had a blast down there. Yeah, I'm just really proud of where we're from. Yeah, we're getting old. We're growing up. We're still young, though. Hey, man, we're still young. We're going to hold on to that.
I just had my 25th, and I did not attend. But when I got the notice, I'm like, no, it's too soon.
We're already working on our 30th. We're ready to get back together. We got a little ways to go, though, man. But yeah, it's just great to be back. The plan was, and my mom worked at St. Joe's for over 30 years, and so I grew up in the hospital. You know, the plan was to go get as good of an education as you can, get great experience, and then hopefully get the opportunity to come back and do what you love to do and help the communities that you love the most. And so, man, I just feel really lucky that, you know, the experiences that I had and the education gave me the opportunity to come and be at a place as wonderful as Pullman is. And it's lived up to the billing, man. It's an awesome place.
Nice.
I love being here. I live right when you come into town right here in Pullman, and love my little acre. The wind is kind of blowing some trees around.
The weather's been a little crazy.
The last couple days, but happy to see some water fill up our aqueduct.
The aquifer needs it for sure. Yeah, so you grew up kind of around the medical community. You said your mom worked at St. Joe's?
Yeah, my mom worked at St. Joe's.
Yeah, my sister was born there.
No kidding?
Yeah.
So was I. All right, yeah. It's a great place. You know, I grew up down there, and, you know, St. Joe's was a wonderful place, you know, for a long time, and they're getting back to it now. The other cool story about that, my dad worked at Lower Granite Dam.
No way.
Almost predominantly.
Oh, my goodness.
You can believe that. I know. This is the place to talk about that.
I've got a soft spot for Lower Granite.
Absolutely. You know, he took the trip every day. We worked for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, so spent a lot of time at the dam. So, again, as you can see, I've been locked into this area in a lot of ways for a long time.
Totally.
So.
Well, where did you go to school?
I went to a couple of, Lewiston High School, as we talked about. I was also a Sacagawea Junior High guy. Got to give a little shout out to Sacagawea Junior High. That means something down there, right? So went to University of Idaho.
Go Vandals.
Go Vandals. I'm also got to say go Cougs right on the heels
of course,
that as we're
go,
in Pullman.
Go Vandals, go Cougs.
So just a Palouse guy here. Went to University of Idaho and then, you know, got some advice to go out and get a great education. Found a school in University of Minnesota that had a rural health center. You know we kind of live in a rural area and, you know, went out there for school and we didn't end up spending too much time, you know, working on the rural side, but it really is what drew me out there. I got an opportunity, and what I think is get an education, kind of was the mecca of healthcare. You know, the Twin Cities was a great place to learn and to grow and to study. And I kind of found a second home out there. And then since, you know, got that great education out there, highly ranked program, really lucky and fortunate, I feel like, to get in and get that education. Then went around to different places, been kind of ping-ponging back and forth. Feel really lucky to get the opportunity to go down to St. Luke's in Boise. And see that organization really grow. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit later, but that's where I really grew my passion for primary care. Had the opportunity down there to run the daily operations for an internal medicine outpatient clinic. So, you know, the 46 clinicians, a lot of internal medicine physicians down there. So, man, that was right kind of during the time where they were doing population health and all that, that cool new, hey, let's try to keep people out of the hospital by taking great care of them was going on. So I was able to be a part of building some really cool things there that I've been taking throughout my career. So
yeah. So you got to kind of cut your teeth in a bigger environment.
Absolutely.
City.
Yeah. You wanted, you know, Twin Cities, seeing all that and going to the big city, but then, you know, knew that I wanted to be in rural healthcare. That's been my calling. Again, that's kind of where we grew up, beautiful part, a little bit removed from kind of the big city lifestyle. So from Boise, knew that I wanted to get to Pullman. You know, that was always the plan.
Really? You had this on your radar?
Absolutely. When I graduated grad school, I knew I wanted to be in a leadership position in a community that I cared about. And my mom and I kind of, you know, my mom is kind of an advisor type of a person in being an HR person. And we kind of had our sights set on Pullman. And I talk about it a lot when I go talk to the students. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, if you set that vision out, you can kind of work backwards on experiences that might get you the opportunity.
But as a local guy, that's kind of cool to hear because, yeah. You know, for so many executive jobs, this place is a stopover. But you thought of this as a destination.
This was my goal and plan, right? This was my dream job. This is what I went to school and did everything to do. And, you know, things take you different places. There's decisions to be made, but this was always kind of what drove me. So, yeah, being in Cottonwood, Orofino, also, you know, the prairie is the Palouse of the Idaho side, right? I feel very fortunate to have that experience. Love those communities.
Yeah.
But remember when Scott Adams said he was going to retire in about, you know, 5 years, you know, talked to my advisor and we said, you know, I don't know if I did an interview if I don't have some CEO experience. And so, you know, that's when I really opened myself up and kind of went out and got the opportunity out in Osceola, Wisconsin. And the thing that pains me for that is I loved it there. That hospital was amazing. You know, you don't get tears coming down your eyes too many times, but telling them that I was leaving was a sad day. But again, this was the dream. This was the place that I wanted to be. And now that I'm here, it's been proven why. This is a wonderful place. We got a lot of challenges in front of us, but it's a wonderful, wonderful community that I feel very proud and lucky to be able to come back to.
Pullman takes a lot of pride in its hospital.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't really realize how good we have it, right?
That's for sure.
When my wife and I were having our kids, we just had an amazing experience time after time at the Pullman Regional Birthplace. And then we'd meet friends from out of town, oftentimes grad students who had had birthing experiences at other places, and they had horror stories.
Yeah.
They talked about like, oh man, it was traumatic and all that. And we're like, gosh, we've had nothing but positive experiences because the staff is so good. You know, we realize how spoiled we are here. So it's cool to hear that reputation has gotten out.
Oh my God. I mean, you have no idea. You go going and seeing in different places and just the resources, but you got to look at that. I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to go to Osceola, they had invested in a new football field. They had a new community center. And so it's like, man, this community really cares about what it has going on. They care about their hospital and that thing. And so I kind of saw that as like a mini Pullman, because you look at Pullman the same way. I mean, our community invested in the beautiful hospital that we have here in 2004. We're a public hospital district, which means we are intimately connected with our community. We work for our community. What a cool, cool place. And I've experienced nothing less than that here in the sense that people care about Pullman Hospital, but it's for those reasons. We have an incredible nursing staff. I like to go through it like this. World-class OBGYN care, world-class pediatric care, world-class family medicine, OB, you know, physicians, to go along with, I mean, some of the highest rated award-winning nursing staffs that I've ever seen. I mean, I'm learning every day. You walk in there and you just have eyes this big because of how cool the people are and what it's attracted, right? You're looking at a place that's attracted some of the best and the brightest and the coolest people around. And so what a privilege to get to come in here and learn from this group and to get to grow with it.
Yeah. I mean, you started out there with, you know, the OB side of things and then pediatric care, like every stage of life, we've got centers of excellence
all the way through.
Medical
I kind of cut it off quick, but you get into the emergency department. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about board certified emergency room physicians. My anecdote is I like to say we kind of have an inner city emergency room right here in Pullman. And it shows. People are noticing. People are coming to visit Pullman Regional because of the access to care. You can, from Spokane, a lot of times, and I've heard people say this, you can drive down past Sacred Heart to Pullman and get in quicker, with our physicians.
Yeah. Unpack that a little bit for me. What do you mean when you talk about the capabilities that we have with our emergency department?
We're stroke certified, which is incredible. I'm really passionate about that piece. But it really comes down to the clinicians. Our nurses and our physicians are really world class. So we have three emergency room physicians working every single day, and they're board certified. That means that you could put them in any trauma one, center in the country, and they would be ready to roll, ready to rock. And so when you're talking about some of the, a lot of rural areas, and this is no dig on that, just showing what we have here in Pullman, is that those are staffed by sometimes PAs and Ps. Those rural facilities are staffed by family physicians who are incredible clinicians. Don't bypass it if you need it. But again, when you're looking at the level of just focused emergency room care, They're awesome. And the technology that we've invested in, but it really comes down to the staff and the clinicians that we have access to. Now, as we go through expansion, we got to make sure that we have facilities that match the clinicians that we have. And so I want to appreciate our community again
for sure
continuing to invest in that next step.
Yeah. And we'll get back to the expansion side.
Of course.
Pullman is a community of about 34,000, 35,000 that really is supported by about 10,000 to 15,000 permanent residents.
Absolutely.
And so when you look at through that demographic lens, in a lot of ways, we have no business having as nice of a hospital as we have.
Right.
Right? Like we're very, very blessed. What are some of the unique challenges of running, say, an emergency department, with the community makeup that we have, especially with the university?
Well, it's a very unique population base, right? When you're talking about 20,000 students, you're going to have high times. Our summers are usually a little bit quieter. We feel a little bit more of that 10 to 15,000, patients in the summertime. Let's shout out. We'd love to get that enrollment at WSU back up to what we've known.
Absolutely.
In the past, we'd love to take care of them. We love at Pullman Regional to be a reason for them to come back. But it is really unique. We have a younger, educated demographic. We have engineers. We have, professors. We have a different makeup within our communities of, let's say, really focused and dedicated professionals. It means that we have, from a healthcare side, we have, they call it the payer mix. We have more commercial payment than some other areas.
What would be an example of commercial pay?
Commercial pay would be your Premier, your Blue Cross, Blue Shield. That's your health insurance that you normally get from your employer. Whereas you talk about the government payers, that's your Medicare and Medicaid. From Medicare and Medicaid, you're not going to get paid quite as much, right? You're going to get paid as a critical access hospital on cost. So what it costs you to provide the care for that population, you're going to get paid back. So you're looking at rural communities and other areas that might have 55 to 60% Medicare as their payer population, right? That's a reflection of the population in your community. Where we have, we're only in the 35%, 40% area there. So we have a dynamic community, and people are moving in, people are moving out. We want people to stay.
Yeah. Are those ratios unusual for a critical access hospital?
They are. They're really unusual. Again, when you get into most rural areas, that's when you get in the higher area of Medicare. Well, because there's not as much industry. There's not as many, big industry insurance paying.
And what's the break point areas for critical access? Like how far above or below the line are we on that?
In terms of, you mean, should we be a critical access hospital?
Well, critical access hospitals, it's a designation that's important because without it, this region wouldn't have the kind of care that it has.
Yes.
Right. But as the hospital gets bigger, are we going to be able to keep that designation, and should we keep it?
We should keep it as long as we absolutely can. And again, you mentioned it, 10 to 15,000 kind of, main residents here. Yeah. That keeps actually our average daily census, which is the amount of patients that we have in the hospital for acute reasons, right? Not your outpatient procedures, those things, but people that come that are sick or delivering babies or want to be in the hospital or need to be in the hospital. We only have about 8 to 10 on average every day. We have 25 licensed beds, so we have some capacity in terms from an acute setting. Now, a lot of our inpatient is what we call our hospital beds, as I'm referring to. Those day-to-day are taking, we call outpatient or observation patients. Those are patients that are going to be staying for less than 24 hours. So a lot of our patients, when we say our hospital is full, a lot of those patients are there for a short period of time, and then they go home. So as you look at it from a community perspective, we need to adjust the way that we're caring for those patients to make a way for our community to grow from an acute perspective. So even in our community, as patients age and they need hospital care, as the expansion is helping us do, we need to readjust that so we can continue to care for them into the future. We have a lot of space there. Yeah. We will be able to remain a critical access hospital for the foreseeable future. We want to, because it's favorable from a government payer standpoint. So as people age and get into Medicare, being paid at cost is a very favorable position to be in for our community.
That's awesome. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate you clarifying that. So about 3 years ago, the community passed a bond, right? We all pitched in for this expansion project. Tell me a little bit about what's motivating that. Like, you know, we know the hospital's full, but it's not necessarily overflowing. Like, what was motivating this whole expansion, and what are we hoping to be able to accomplish as a result?
Well, it's just, I mean, first of all, thank you to our community for supporting that. I mean, that's first and foremost.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big responsibility. It's one that we take really seriously. And to say it to start, it's the right thing. And, you know, we invested in 2004 because our hospital on campus wasn't quite meeting the needs of the community.
I remember that old hospital, Holy Memorial.
I love when people come in and talk about those stories.
It was tight. The hallways were narrow and there was no parking.
I'm kind of bummed I don't get a office in an old elevator shaft like Bernadette Burney. But, you know, those stories are awesome and welcome. But, you know, we needed to, you know, grow for our community in that area. And so this beautiful...
Our community outgrew...
Absolutely. It did. And that's where we're getting. So how do we feel that right now? One is in the emergency room. We are really feeling it. On a daily basis, we have patients in rooms 8, 9, and 10, which actually are just, you know, signs on the wall that say room 8.
I saw that. I was visiting a friend of mine and they were in, I think it was room 9.
Yeah.
And it's just there in that like southwest corner. I'm like, this isn't a room. We're literally in a hallway. And this person's receiving care.
Absolutely.
Which, I mean, props for using your space to
of
the max.
Course,
right?
Of course. And they do a wonderful job with that.
Yeah, you know, that's not ideal.
But it's not ideal. Yeah. It's not an ideal thing from a clinician perspective, from a physician or nurse working in that environment. And it's certainly not ideal for the patient needs. So we need to evolve, you know, in that space. And you also talk about the mental health needs of our population and how that's growing and changing. And we'll talk about that in primary care evolution as well. But that's where, you know, we need to evolve that space to care for our community. Again, when those students come to WSU and say, am I going to come here? We want to be able to show them our emergency room and say, hey, if there's an emergency, we're ready to take care of you. So again, thank you to the community for doing that. Now, we've also, thank you to our community, has invested in a fourth surgery room not too long ago, operating room. Excuse me. And so, you know, what's happened with that is to partner with our world-class orthopedic program that we have access to here, Dr. Tingstead, Dr. Taylor, Dr. Pennington, and Dr. Vandenbos. What a group. But, you know, when you have great services like that, people want to come utilize them. Yeah. You know, so, wow, we're so lucky and fortunate to have access to groups like those guys in our general surgery group.
It's very real. My wife has had, I think, one surgery from Dr. Taylor, I think another from Pennington. And then my son has had both shoulders worked on by Tingstead. And I mean, just the level of expertise that those guys have, we're spoiled. We don't understand just how unusual that is, right? Just the speed at which we were able to get in and the expertise in the surgery itself. Like, these guys are good.
Tapping into my experience a little bit, you know, going to the Midwest where the population is greater, you know, than ours, I can tell you big health systems that are working to try to develop programs like inland orthopedic program, right?
Oh, interesting.
I mean, with connections to
So like bigger hospitals don't have this quality.
Don't have what we have. You know, scale is a little different, of course, but don't have that access to that we have and their connection to the universities and those kind of things. So again, when you have access to that, people, you know, come to see them. Mm. And so we've already invested in that fourth operating room.
Right.
Want to throw out, we also have a gastroenterologist that is just incredible. Dr. Cochran, local guy kid as well. He's incredible. And so people are coming to see them. And so what that does, it's putting pressure on our outpatient space to support them. That's leaking over, as I was stating, into the inpatient side. And so we need to revamp that space. And again, the community has come to share that and make that a lot more efficient. So we're going to add more space in a fifth operating room. We're going to add a better space so that they call it CS, sterile processing, so that those utensils can be clean and ready to go. Now, mind you, we have right now, I got to give a little plug for the team right now, 0%, right in that 0% infection rate. It's going really well. They're doing an incredible job. I don't believe it all the time.
We like to hear that.
It's incredible, but we need better space to maintain that level of service. And what we want to do is build outpatient space right connected to that with more rooms, more space in each room, so that when we're caring for people, we can do it more efficiently in a safer way and prevent or lower that weight on that inpatient or hospital space, so that we have increased capacity from that standpoint.
Yeah.
So this expansion is going to help us really revamp and support, again, the growth that we've had. Remember, to put a little perspective on it, we went from just a few years ago, 200 to 250 procedures a month in our outpatient space. We're up to over 600 on average a month now. So again, patients are coming to see these wonderful clinicians that we have, and our space needs to grow and adapt to what the community is experiencing.
That's a crazy amount. That's a huge delta of growth. You said 250 to 600?
Correct.
Per month?
Yes.
In what time period?
And we're talking the last 5 years. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's really grown.
Did you know that was coming? Like you had your eyes set on this job. Did you know that you were going to have to tackle this large of a transformation and this amount of growth?
Is my, no.
I mean, do you still feel good about signing up for the job?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the growth is what is fantastic. You know, we were at about 425 employees. You know, when I signed on, we're at 668 as of last week. You know, so again,
one of the major employers of the area.
Major employers, and you know that we like to talk about that. We take that really seriously because we want to be a big employer in a heartbeat, from an economic, in a care, in a great place to work standpoint. And so I think we've been proven that, but it shows you the amount of change that we've really absorbed. And that shows you, it validates, I think, as we go through this, the importance of what we went and asked the community for back in 2022. Yeah. And I think, it again, I hope we can make them proud as we deliver on a great service, and it should just enhance. But we're talking to you about this before, and this project started 10 years ago, right? And it's evolved continually.
I mean, it's evolved a lot. I think the bond had to be run 3 or 4 times before it passed. And each time the plan was a little different as it adapted to the needs, but also responsive to what the community feedback was.
Yeah.
I know the plan that eventually did pass, we had some renderings where we showed a lot of outbuildings and a lot of, you know, outward expansion. As things have evolved, it's looking like most of it's going to be internal.
Yes.
Reconfiguring internal space, existing square footage. I'm kind of curious, you know, when we say expansion, a lot of people are picturing like new square footage.
Yes.
You know, why the change in plans here?
Well, I think, you know, let's go directly to it. That it was an incredible design process. You know, we had, you know, the approved plans from the community, right, that we came, and it really centered around that emergency room growth, the OR addition in the outpatient space. And then we talked about, which is still part of the plan, kind of south, a south medical office building.
Up on the hillside.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's what we went to the community to share. And I think when you remember those pictures, those renderings initially, you saw buildings, outbuildings attached to the hospital growing out into those parking lots and different things. And our first designs, which we had great participation in, we had you know, over 50 leaders, you know, within the organization as a part of it, all the way down to our frontline staff that were part of that design process. So, man, those were tough rooms to be in, to be honest with everyone asking what they wanted.
I'm sure it was not lacking for opinions.
No. And so those are first designs, and we showed these to the community. We wanted this to be a transparent process all the way through, showed growth. So as an example, that space between what is the emergency room and now emergency physician and physician parking right back there, we were going to grow out into that space. And that was going to be new imaging space that connected right, you know, back to the ER and those kind of things. Really cool and those kind of things. But as we went in the design and we went through the cost and everything like that, we were able to get the same thing that we were originally applying to and in a more efficient way through a remodel within the hospital. Mm. And the exciting part about that is it won't be as disruptive, you know, to the continual provision of care through the process. And most importantly, it still allows us to grow into that space into the future. Sure. So when we went and asked the community...
So we're not saying we're never going to build up on that hillside. The land's still there.
In fact, this is going to help us prepare for that. And that is my big dream. I love primary care. And we need a medical office building. We kind of have that all over town right now. But again, we want to continue to recruit great physicians. That is part of our plan. We've already started to talk about it. Now, I do want to say it is really important that we won't be going back to our community to help support that. This project that we're working through now and our continued growth in operations, the recruitment that we're going through, our focus on access at every level of our organization is going to allow us in the future to keep on this project. Yeah. So like I said, this project's been going on for over 10 years.
Yeah, and it's evolved over time, right?
Yep. And we want it to
and
keep
the needs
going.
Are shifting.
Absolutely.
You know, I mentioned earlier my wife and my son's surgeries, with all of those orthopedic operations, they were home same day.
Yeah.
And it didn't used to be that way.
No, it didn't.
Right? You know, like 20 years ago or even 15 years ago, if you had an operation like that, you were in the hospital 3 or 4 days. So I can imagine that just that change in the way that procedures are done has probably had an effect on the logistics.
Absolutely.
Inside the building.
Well, you nailed it. I mean, the minimum stay for a total hip or total knee was 3 days. Right. And so for a critical access hospital, that was pretty beneficial, you know, from
sure.
a financial
that's a lot,
standpoint.
That's a lot of billable hours.
And so as you think about that, our whole economic structures, were built on those business models. And so now you're seeing that.
So you're actually making less money
right.
by having patients in the hospital open out as long.
Right. That, I mean, how those economics work, right? But and so there's that transition. Now, from a patient perspective, would you rather be recovering at home? You know,
absolutely. I'd much rather be home.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it sounds like the result of that is that we have a facility that, you know, if we were to build it fresh from the ground up today, we wouldn't build it the same way.
Correct. Yeah. Those things are changing. So as you see right now, you get those outpatient procedures and you're going down hallways and you're going across the hall. There's a lot of movement from the OR to where you're going. That's going to be right out of the OR and right into your room in a lot smoother, which is going to allow us to take better care in a quicker mindset. It's going to open up our access to care in those areas. We're going to be a lot more efficient with that new space right there as well. And it'll lead to a better experience for our patients.
Oh, fantastic. So like what's an example of that? Like what's an example of an efficiency gain through this remodel process as opposed to getting new square footage?
Okay. So through the new square footage would basically have given us the same thing. It just in different spaces, right? So instead of growing into our, you know, the emergency room now is going to grow into what is our same day south. It's already there. It's up. Yeah. It's good space. That same day south, what we call it, is going to move outside to the new space where our current lab is. And so instead of that ER growing, let's say, what was that, west, now it's just going to grow east. And it's just going to be a lot less expensive than putting up that new grant.
Well, probably also a shorter walk.
Absolutely.
Inside the hospital.
Yep.
Right?
And it's going to allow us to have a really cool and neat entrance into our emergency room. So that experience, we call it the two front doors is what it's going to be.
What do you mean two front doors?
So we have that beautiful entrance on the front of our hospital, man. It's just, I love it. You can see campus. You got the trees going around. It's just gorgeous there. And Scott Adams, you know, loved that as well. That's a give a shout to him for that vision. But, you know, when you go in the emergency room, you kind of got that wall and it's just kind of a backdoor entrance. You know, that new space back there is going to be a lot better waiting room. It's going to be a lot more open.
Well, that's the door that's open 24 hours.
Yep, it's going to be open 24 hours. That space is going to be beautiful right there. And so it's a good plan. So, again, back to your original thing. It originally was going to grow backwards, you know, west, and now it's just growing east. So it's exactly the same thing in a more efficient manner, in a more, let's say, with a better focus on stewardship for the amount of money that our people, for our community supported us with.
Yeah. You know, Pullman's a very generous community, but people want to know that their dollars are being well spent.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you feel like this is the best possible use of the money that has been contributed by the taxpayers?
You know, I really do. And I have a unique vantage point. I can come in here as a person that, you know, was brought in right when we approved it. That overlap time I was with, you know, Scott. And so I was there. So I could come here and say, hey, I would have done it differently here and there. And I honestly, I wouldn't. I would do it that way because I do think that is a critical part for future growth as well. That hospital was built beautifully for the support for what our community needed in 04. And I think these new plans are the necessary step to get us to that next phase and maintain the level of service that our community has been accustomed to.
Yeah. And you brought up the time when you first joined the team.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that was an interesting onboarding time because you, in a lot of ways, replaced the legend.
Oh,
right. Scott Adams was here for a long time and really shepherded the hospital growth from moving off campus to what we have now. What was that like? Was that intimidating?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I have size 13 feet. He's got size 20 shoes. I can't feel those babies. I can't. My feet aren't growing enough. I can't believe a guy like him had size 20 feet, if you can believe it. No, I mean, he really was a legend. A legend because of his focus and care for our community. Man, that guy, I think if he could have worked another 30 years, I think he would have. You know, I mean, that is the passion that he put into his role. He loved this community and he loved this role. And I think when I came and interviewed, you know, he was there, you know, throughout. And I think and I hope that he saw that in me too, that a guy that's passionate about his community. And I hope that I make him proud.
What was that like getting up to speed? I mean, it's a large organization, right? With a lot of internal culture, a lot of DNA. How do you even begin to get up to speed in something like that?
That's a process that we're still going through today. I mean, that's how deep rooted, you know, that culture and that way is. And so to be able to pay homage to it, to grow with it, to evolve it as we grew, because even 3-4 years ago, we're a different hospital today, right? Our community is different. The needs of our community is different. So the goal is to continue to learn with that. And, you know, a guy like me, you don't come in and flip that on its head. You don't want to come in and change all that. You want to grow with it appropriately. And I think we put a lot of time and effort, you know, into doing that the right way. And I hope that people see that and feel that. But yeah, I mean, you're coming in and you're taking, you know, what do they call it? The fire hose, you know, drinking from a fire hose, you know, and that's what it is. But I got to spend 3 months, you know, with Scott in that transition period. I was right there with him in his office. I got to see how he does it day to day. I got to see how he interacted with employees. I can't believe this. You know, he knew every single person's name throughout the hospital by first name. Every single person. So we walk into a back room, someone I had not seen before, or someone that just started 2 months before that, and he would know their name. I'm not going to promise that I'm going to get to that level, but it's that kind of interaction, that kind of commitment that he had that you're trying to learn from and grow from. And so feel very fortunate, although it was tough. I'm not going to say it wasn't, but the what I learned from that was a really positive experience for me in that 3 months. And then now it's been 3 years in November and we're rolling.
You've settled in pretty well. So looking back the last 3 years, was there anything about the culture, the team, or just the job of running Pullman Regional Hospital that surprised you? That I kind of like, oh, this is different than I thought.
I think there's always surprises. So, you know, every place that you go, you have an idea of what's going to be there. I mean, I've got to go to a couple different places, and I think that's kind of the beauty of evolving is in changing and going to different places is that it's the same business. A lot of it is similar, but the nuances and what makes a place unique is there. And so I think the eye-opening things for me was the stability and the what's the adjective? Just the quality of the nursing staff. We have full staff. They have, you know, we're able to recruit the best of the best. They're there. They work together. They're very positive. I've never seen the human experience scores that you get in those areas. So learning from that nursing, Jeannie Eiler, you know,
she's a legend.
She's a legend as well. You know, we're riding on the coattails of legend. We have Tammy Dahl now, who has incredible experience, Baldrige Award winner. So to see her coming in and help lead that team to the into the future has been fantastic. But I think that's one of those things that was incredible. The relationships, I think, that people have, the commitment, the longevity, you know, 119 people. This is an old number, but that had been there 15 years or longer. That is some longevity. That's some longevity.
That's some commitment to the community.
So absolutely.
I think we all feel that here in Pullman.
Yeah.
We feel that like the hospital has been here for us for a long time. It's going to be here in the future.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really what drove the yes vote for that bond is like, hey, we feel that commitment. We want to return the favor and we can grow together.
Absolutely. As a
community. You know, something that is challenging pretty much everywhere is this idea of recruiting, retaining quality people. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had some pretty high profile retirements over the last few years, and that's just a natural thing that happens. And, you know, nationwide, we're seeing a difficulty with finding enough physicians to mm-hmm. fill these spaces. Have we had a similar issue here in Pullman?
Absolutely. You mentioned a couple things that I want to call out, and I'm going to go back to one of the things you said right at the beginning, but one is everywhere in the country is feeling this. And I want to remind everyone that this is not necessarily a surprise, right? We've known for a long time. I think I was in high school or college. We've known about the baby boomer retirements. We've known that there was going to be a big transition in people aging out of these communities. And when you look around the Quad Cities, we have felt that, right?
We felt that
significantly. We felt that here in Pullman with big retirements. Okay, what's our plan after retirement? You know, you see that in the Valley. There's a lot of movement. You see it in medical staff, in our medical staff community. And so it's putting a lot of pressure on us. We know the second thing that I want to get at is the idea of recruitment.
Yeah.
Historically, you've been able to go to the market and recruit for things that you needed. Right. There was that.
You put out a job offer. You get a certain number of applications.
Yeah. We saw a thing yesterday from Texas for a physician in Texas that was just outlandish. I'm not even going to say the dollars because I don't want to give, you know, the market a bad idea about what's out there. But it's just the challenges are continuing to grow. You can't just recruit. So that means we need to, you know, grow new ways. Things don't happen by accident. Right. So if you look, we have to grow new ways, new infrastructure to help support the future, to help support so we don't get ourselves back in this scenario in the future. This is how we have to compete. So you said at the very beginning, nothing happens by accident, right? And so we need to take that approach. If we're recruiting physicians to town and they're not staying, we need to look at why, and we have, right? So, I mean, let's just put it on the table. It's the truth. And I know our community has felt this the most is that, you know, over the last 10 years, we've recruited over 10 physicians to our community that have left our community.
Yeah.
And why? Right. And so when you look at, there's an extraordinary amount of work at Pullman Regional going into making sure that we don't experience that into the future. Right.
So, well, retention, especially with upper professionals like doctors, I don't feel like that's just a Pullman Regional thing. I think that's a community challenge that we all need to rise up on.
Yes.
You know, like what are we doing to be a welcoming community? Mm-hmm. What are we doing to make this a desirable place for people to come and to stay? Mm-hmm. You know, I know that up at Schweitzer, they have the exact same situation. They hire in experienced engineers and they either stay for years or they leave after a year and a half, right? Mm-hmm. They either love it or they don't. And that's the experience of Pullman. And so I think that's up to all of us to kind of raise that up. But with physicians specifically, I mean, I felt it. I had three primary care doctors in the span of a couple of years, you know, like the struggle is real.
Yeah. Well, my parents felt that down in Lewiston. Yeah. I love the, the Dr. McIntosh story. I say he took care of my grandparents, both sets of my grandparents. He took care of all my uncles. He took care of my parents. And then he retired and my parents don't have a doctor.
Wow.
Right. It's hard for them to find it.
You don't replace longevity like that overnight.
You don't. But, but also you can look at that. Okay. How are we setting up for generations? We want people to be able to retire and know that things aren't falling down, right? So we have to look at the whole system. And that's where you look at some of the things like, now I want to say, it's just not just for physicians. You're talking about ultrasound techs. You're talking about
all sorts of different clinicians. It's the whole gamut.
But look at the precedent that was set here at Pullman Regional with that residency program, which is absolutely, oh my gosh, the foresight to know.
Oh, and to see what Dr. Hall's seeing the future was fantastic. But for people that don't know, explain what is a residency program.
So a residency program is when medical school students graduate from medical school, they're a doctor. Now, in order to get certified by your college of medicine, you need to go on to a residency program. So those are minimum usually 3 years, and sometimes for specialties go beyond that. And so medical school is great. So if we are teaching medical students, that's fantastic. But then they go off to a residency somewhere around the country, around the region. And so you look at likelihood to stay in a community after you're finished with medical school, and then compare that to after you're finished with, let's say, a family medicine residency, and the percentages aren't even close.
Doctors are more likely to settle in the community nearby where they did their residency. So if we don't have a residency here in Whitman County, it's very unlikely that we'll be able to recruit people to stay.
And what's so cool and unique about this, if you look at the family medicine residency positions on the west side of the Cascades versus on the east side, it's night and day. There's not none out here. And when you look at where physicians' residencies normally are, they're in big hospitals, right? What is incredible is
bigger hospital would have more resources to support something like that.
So even in rural Idaho, we did some of this where you have rotations at rural hospitals where a resident will come and spend 6 weeks, a month, or some time at your hospital. And that was where you did a lot of recruiting in that 4 weeks, 6 weeks, please come back, right? Now imagine we have one or two or the hub of a residency here at Pullman. That means we have residents here for 3 years training at Pullman Regional.
And that's unusual, right?
That's unusual.
You don't see a lot of critical access hospitals in rural areas
that are in the hub.
A destination.
That are the ones. It almost never happens. But if you can see that as a model that we need to replicate across, where we can no longer just say recruiting is tough, right? Just go out, hey, we're going to recruit somebody because everybody is doing it. But instead, we're going to invest and grow and develop our own that can learn in Pullman, go out and get some other experiences in Spokane and different things, but learn right here, get to know our community, fall in love with our patients, and hopefully stay. And we're really excited. We already have multiple physicians that are interested that are now training and being here as residents that would like to stay here in Pullman.
How many residents do we have?
We have nine. We have a full cohort.
Three years.
So we will have, if you can believe this, we will have our first graduates here in June. So Dr. Hall, Scott Adams, really everybody up there should be so proud. And the cool thing is you can really tell the quality of a program by what you're hearing from your residents, and especially if they want to stay. And so, it is so hard to get a program of that magnitude up and running. So want to continue to give Dr. Hall shouts. He's up there, he's working it every day, helping to make sure that it's sustainable and we can keep it into the future. And it's going great.
I've had a chance to interact with some of those residents, and it's a fantastic program, and they all speak well of the process and the experience they're getting. So let's hope that some of them want to stick around.
Absolutely. And one last thing, it takes a village in that too. So our emergency room physician, our hospitalists, our OB groups, they're all helping to support that training. And that is a tough pill to swallow, saying, hey, let some other people come into your business and do that. That's not easy to do. And so just want to give some recognition to the rest of the medical staff for showing up and help training the next iteration. What a valuable thing for our community in the future.
Well, it takes a big team, obviously.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate how the solution to this isn't seen as just throw money at the problem. right? Like, we could always offer more money. We could also try and, you know, entice someone to come and pay them a gajillion dollars. But this residency clinic model is much more about the long game.
Oh,
you know, yeah. Like if we can create a culture that people want to work in, right?
Yeah.
You know, and recruit them for the long term, I think that's going to pay off a lot more 5-10 years down the road. I mean, it might be a generation from now. We'll look back and realize we have a level of care because of the investment made back in the 2020s.
You said it perfect. And that is the goal. It is a long game. The game here is to keep healthcare decisions for Pullman, the Pullman community in Pullman.
Yeah.
Right. We are a public hospital district. We are independent. That means we go as we go.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's no private equity money.
There's no private equity money. There's none of that. And honestly, we shouldn't believe that that's the way to go. Right. Because again, as soon as those things happen, healthcare decisions aren't made at the local level.
Yeah. The incentives change.
Absolutely.
Right?
Incentives change. And they do wonderful, wonderful work, and they're supporting communities all over. And so it's not a dig, but here in Pullman,
That's not us. Yeah. Hospital district, meaning it's owned by the people that it serves.
Absolutely. We're owned by our community. We're connected to our community. We want to do that. Now, that's a big responsibility. That means that we can't shortcut. That means we have to build frameworks that, you know, stand the test of time.
Well, and there's big challenges coming.
Absolutely.
Just looking at the type of access challenges that we have now versus what we're going to have 10 years from now with demographic shifts. You know, what are some of the challenges when it comes to expanding access to the community for the long term?
Well, you mentioned it. It's recruitment. You know, recruitment. It's those things.
Like specifically, are there certain areas or certain jobs that are holes right now that we're hoping to close in the coming years?
It's really all of them. I mean, I think when you think about it, it goes from leadership. It goes from making sure that you have access for, let's say, right out of school people. You have evolution programs so that people can grow within the organization, right? So we have a new program that's being led by Tammy Dahl, but really we're investing in it across our organization called Career Pathways. So as an example, you graduate from Lewis Clark State College with a radiology degree. You're an X-ray tech, right? And you come in to Pullman Regional. We want to make sure that if you want to, you can grow from an X-ray tech to nuclear medicine tech to MRI tech to ultrasound, you know, tech, and make sure that people can continue to grow in those pathways. A good example is echo, you know, echo techs, few and far between, sleep techs.
Yeah.
You know, sleep is huge.
Very important.
And a service that we want to improve upon in terms of that experience. But when you think about just going out and recruiting these techs, they're difficult. Let's say leadership predecessors, right? So, you know, people within that, again, going out and recruit that's a challenge. So as you can think about it as a model, we want to continue to grow and develop our staff, our community in perpetuity here.
Yeah. Just when we look at patient access, what are the things we want to be able to accomplish 10 years from now that are maybe more of a challenge now? Like, so in terms of being able to get people the care that they need.
Thanks. I'm with you on that. You see us really working on that in terms of the term population health.
What does that mean?
Population health. So as an overarching economic thing, and this is not new in healthcare, but we're going to have to continue to do more with about the same or maybe less. Right. And what we know we can't have is we can't have a decrease in access with that, you know, so reimbursements aren't going up. They're going down. We're running out of that. So
reimbursements mean the cash flow of the
cash flow. Yep. The money that we get paid to do what we do, it's not going to continue to increase. So that means our efficiencies need to increase. I think this is a good thing in a sense that it can help drive us to better, you know, better models of care, which is what we're trying to develop. But we know with all that, what can't we have a decrease in? We can't decrease access. We can't decrease quality. We can't put that burden on our physician's shoulders, right? That we can't just put that on our caregiver's shoulders and say, hey, do more. It's harder. Go there, right? So we have these things. Now, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like in 10 years, but it's going to be those things that are pressures, right? And so what we have to do is we have to use all the resources that we have more efficiently. And Pullman Regional has these. We have dietitians that are incredible, right? We have pharmacists. These are things that other communities don't have. So these are things that I would be hoping to build in Wisconsin where I was, right? So we have access to all of these things. We've also invested in integrated behavioral health. number shout out, over 700 integrated behavioral health handoffs, and I'll talk about that. But we need this framework to use a whole team and all of our resources to care for our patients more efficiently, right? So instead of maybe 14 visits to the doctor that we're used to, which happens, which is, I'm not arguing with, but now we have four, and also support that's connected back to your physician from a pharmacist, a dietitian, endocrinologist who's starting next summer, right? All of these resources that we are unique to have, we can do that. Now that leads to better outcomes for our patients, more support. So instead of just one person caring for you, man, you got a whole roof, a 30-foot roof caring for you here. There. And so the flow within your organization for patients getting what they need, when they need it, and how they need it, all being led by your primary care physician, it'll do a lot of things. It increases access, increases that quality, and decreases the pressure on our clinicians acutely, so they can care for more people, and they want to work in that environment. And maybe the financial piece would be a little bit better for them in that scenario too. So it's just a win-win-win that allows us to continue to invest in a better model of care for our patients. So they're supported by, man, the whole thing.
Yeah. Does that tie back to the expansion and the efficiency gains inside the facility?
It will. And when we talk about that fourth stage, well, I want to talk about it this way to answer your question. Yeah, the expansion inside is going to be all about facilitating things through. So what happens currently in an environment, and again, this is not bad. This is just observation of how it happens. And I know it's the experience of a lot of our patients out there. You go in with your primary care physician. They give you a referral to the next stage, right? So what inevitably happens is we have wonderful specialists on the other end of that, and then they get a big pool of referrals. Now, the truth is there's a percentage of those referrals that aren't quite ready for that step, but I can't do there. So instead, we're going to have a bunch of resources kind of, let's say, in the middle to help manage that. And so what we can do is get people to the right specialist at the right time, which inevitably improves the efficiency through our outpatient services and lessens the burden on the whole system, right? Because what we want, and this is what it is, when you call, when you need something, we want to be able to say one word, and that's yes, every time. Right now, because of the way things flow within our system and within our hospital, the way that it is, that answer isn't always yes. It's in a while, maybe in a while, right? You know, it's downstream. We want to be able to do that. And we think that the investments that we're making in population health and in better facilities and in more efficient flows, that it'll, again, increase the access for those patients, decrease the weight and the burden on our individual clinicians and on our throughput flows, and increase the outcome quality, right? And which is what it's all about.
Love that.
Yeah.
So 10 years from now, if we are successful as a community in doing all these things, from recruitment and retention and facility updates, if the expansion, if all this goes well, how do you hope that our community is different and care is different a decade from now?
Well, I think, you know, if you want to get like a big flashy thing, I think it is very within the realm for us to say, hey, the rest of rural America, look at what we're doing and replicate this, because this is the model. Because
wow.
Don't you believe that our patients here in Pullman deserve access to the best healthcare in the world?
Absolutely.
I don't think there's, you know, not a day I go to bed you don't think about that, right? Because why wouldn't they?
Right.
Why wouldn't our community deserve that? But why wouldn't other communities deserve it, you know, either? So we want to continue to evolve with the needs. We don't want to take things for granted, because we want to make sure that the Pullman people, the people in Pullman and our region, have access to the best healthcare in the world. So, you know, and we can. With the resources that we have, we can build that, you know, right here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm kind of curious. You're very into your job, and I love that. What do you do for fun? What do you do?
I work, man. No. I just, you know, well, I moving home is a blessing, and there's pressure with it, you know,
sure.
Because I have my family and friends are all around. So there's not a time where I don't get to go spend time with them. I have two nephews and a niece and another nephew on the way up in Coeur d'Alene.
Nice.
So, man, it was cool over Thanksgiving to get to spend time with them. And then, you know, here in Pullman, we're really getting going. Played softball this summer. We had the we had our
City Rec League, or
City Rec League. Yeah. We're really trying to get that flowing. We're in the playoffs right now for volleyball. The Ace Bandages are ready to go. So we played last night.
You play volleyball?
We're playing volleyball. There's a group of nurses and myself. We're out there. We're playing some volleyball. We got our basketball team. We're the Rust Buckets, which is led by some emergency room physicians. And those guys, we're getting going for, I think it's our fourth season now. We didn't do as good last year. We did better a couple years ago, but we're revamping our team there. So just trying to stay involved. Yeah, our softball team was the Home Platelets, if you like that. So got the Home Platelets, the Ace Bandages.
That's funny.
And that. So, again, just love to spend time with my friends, my family. Yeah. We like to go into the outdoors and then trying to get involved and stay active. I'm not exercising as much as I'd like. Oh, I like to right now.
Both, man.
Man, but that, hey, 2026, we got a new year coming up.
Right?
Year's
resolutions.
We're ready to go. But
I'm dreading that conversation.
Get out there. You know, give a plug to all these people out there. Let's get the Parks and Rec.
Let's do it.
Season's going, man. It's a
lot
of fun.
Let's do it. Yeah. Now that you've been here for 3 years, you've had a chance to kind of, you know, assimilate and be part of the community. What would you say that Pullman does really well? Well, for individuals like you to come in, take on a new job, take on a new challenge?
I think, you know, the thing that I love the most and I want to continue to promote is they show up and they tell you, right? You know, they show up and they tell you the truth. And I think, you know, we can only get better if we can hear from our community. And I think they've done a really good job of that. Good things, bad things, you know, things we can improve on. I want to continue to promote that. I think that differentiates us. We are only as good as we can bring challenges to the table together and work through them. And I think, you know, 2025 and 2026 is a great opportunity for Pullman to lean in on that attribute that we've had and continue to take it to the next level. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. We know that. Let's keep showing up like we always have and keep helping make each other better.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, what do you think the community as a whole looks like 10, 15 years from now?
Why wouldn't we be the coolest community there is, man?
I think we already are.
I do. I agree. I agree. I think in 10 years, I think we keep building on that beautiful downtown that we have. We keep building on that beautiful campus. Oh, my gosh. Every day you roll in the hospital, you get to see that from the parking lot. It's pretty cool. Keep building on that beautiful asset that we have in Washington State University. The likes of Schweitzer Engineering and cool companies like that that we have access to. Yeah. Let's continue to build on that. Let's continue to grow on that backbone that's made us great. And let's keep growing and evolving.
Yeah. 10 years from now, thriving downtown, thriving university. Oh. The Cougs in a top-tier bowl game. And a thriving hospital.
Don't you have to worry about the hospital. We're going to be there. We're leading the way.
I mean, let's face it. As we're talking about making this a welcoming community, people care about the healthcare.
Oh, absolutely. They should.
And the success of our hospital is tied to the success of our community. And so as we continue to grow as a town and want to be a welcoming place for people finding their road to Pullman, right? Having a vibrant healthcare sector is critical.
It's absolutely critical.
Yeah. So what do you want people to think of when they think about the kind of care they're going to get should they relocate and move to the Blues?
Well, first and foremost, I want them to know that it's going to be yes, right? When they call, we're going to be able to say, yeah, we can take care of you. You know, that's first and foremost. I don't want people to worry about, hey, where do I go? How does that happen? We want people to know that when they call Pullman Regional, and we have the great Allison Wigley is going to help us to build and develop that program. Man, she's incredible. But yeah, that first and foremost, we want there to be no question. It's a yes. And then what we want them to know is that we're going to not just care for that acute episode. We're going to care for them in entirety, that we know how to help them through what is a very challenging healthcare environment. We want to have a plan for every person, whether they're accessing our care today, tomorrow, or in 3 years. We want people to know that we have a plan for them and that we can help them when they need it, where they need it.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's always a blast, Adam.